Hear It from the Doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, if you've ever had a child that has gotten norovirus, you know how very unpleasant it can be for both mom and the child. And we're talking today with Dr. Corinne Cross. She's a pediatrician and spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. So, Dr. Cross, norovirus, people get confused. They hear stomach flu. They confuse that with influenza flu. And then they hear something technical like norovirus, and they're not sure what the difference with that is. So kind of lay out the differences for us, and then we'll talk about some of the unpleasantries.
Yes. So norovirus was previously called a Norwalk-like virus, which is another of the stomach flus. And basically, there's no real stomach flu. Stomach flu is what people kind of term when doctors would say you have gastroenteritis. So you have vomiting and you have diarrhea. So that's what we're talking about. So these are all different types of viruses that cause similar symptoms of vomiting, abdominal cramping, diarrhea, fever. So they sort of get lumped together in this sort of idea of the stomach flu, but it has nothing to do with influenza. And these are often very contagious viruses.
So first of all, when this is going around the school, is this something we'd get a letter about? Like, there's norovirus going around the school, so make sure your kids, you know, you look for these symptoms, or is this not letter worthy?
Well, it depends on your school, I think, but mostly people don't know that they have norovirus because people don't usually check. They know that they say they have the stomach flu, or they have, if they want to be say technical, they say they have gastroenteritis or they have vomiting and diarrhea, whatever. But, you know, sometimes you'll hear that, particularly if they're the littler grades, because the kids don't wash their hands so well. So you might get a letter home saying, please keep your kids home. If they're sick, please wait at least 24 hours till they don't have any more symptoms to send them back. So schools might do something like that. And then schools do, you do want to let your school know if you are, your child has this, because they need to wipe down surfaces. And the thing with the virus and the reason that, you know, so many people get it isn't just that it's so contagious, but that it actually can stay for several days at room temperature on surfaces. So, you know, you can think about little preschool kids or kindergarten kids not wiping so well, having stuff on their hands, touching like a table. That virus now stays there for quite a few days if it's not wiped down with a bleach type of solution. So you want to let the school know if this is something that's going on.
Is it mostly or almost all from not wiping, and it's from whatever's in the feces that, yikes, kids can walk around with the toilet on their hands? But is that what it's mostly from, or can it be from other things?
So, yeah, I mean, it fecal-oral route is, I think, one of the most common ways that it gets transmitted, so fecal being your poo to your mouth. And so basically kids aren't washing their hands, or maybe you go out to eat someplace and somebody's not washing their hands, and the person contaminates basically your food or your water. But at the same thing, it's from close person-to-person contact as well. So it's not aerosolized, really, but, you know, if you're close to all of this and, you know, somebody's touching their face or whatever, and then they're touching you, or they're touching a doorknob, and then, you know, so it's not all from their poo. They have the virus, basically in, you know, their other fluids, and you can get it that way.
Okay, so kid starts throwing up, diarrhea, it's coming out both ends. First thing is, how do you help your child while not trying, because I know every mother's sort of worst fear is you're helping your child with this stomach flu, this norovirus, and a day later, you're the one laying there on the floor, really not being a very happy person. So
Absolutely. How
do we, as caregivers, without scaring our children and putting on a mask and gloves, help our child holding the vomit bowl and helping them to wipe the diarrhea and keeping them generally clean?
Well, often it hits and you don't know that it's coming, which is, you know, why you're usually not prepared. If it were my child, I would just get a box of gloves, because I think that does help a lot, because you're going to be doing a lot of cleaning. But, you know, obviously you're not necessarily going to put the gloves on before, you know, you go and help your child get to the toilet or the bowl before they throw up. So, you know, it is what it is. And I think that's why parents usually do get sick. You want to try to not breathe in The vomit, obviously, it can be aerosolized. You want to make sure that you're giving yourself a little bit of distance, but you want to help your kid. When they're all done, you clean them up, and then you wash your hands. Now, some people may skip washing their hands and use Purell. That's a bad idea. Alcohol does not really kill this virus very well, so you're better off with hot water and soap and doing that, like, you know, real scrub for a minute or so. And then you want to make sure that what you're using to wipe down surfaces is a bleach cleaner. So you want to make sure that that's what you're using when you're sort of wiping down the toilet, wiping out anything else. You want to make sure that you have bleach in the cleaner that you're using. At the same time, if you don't want to be hand washing any of your bowls or your dishes or your cups, this is the time where you say, I don't even care if it's plastic, it's going through the dishwasher. It needs to be hot to get rid of the virus. It's the same with clothes and with sheets and towels. This is not a good time to share anything. And it's also a good time to say, you know what, I'm going to wash the sheets today and I might wash the sheets again tomorrow.
I was going to ask you that. Do you wait till it's all gone or do you start washing them and kind of just do it every day as you need to?
I mean, if they throw up on those sheets or if they don't nearly hit the sheets, but, you know, they throw up into the bucket next to the bed, I'm washing the sheets because I just want to get as much of the virus out of my house, because the chances are one of my other kids is going to go sit on that bed or something else. And like I said, that virus stays on surfaces for days. So
that
for me, it's better just to do some extra laundry, wash the towels, wash the sheets, and make sure that they stay separate.
We will continue with our guest and our conversation, but first, a question to you. Are you forgetting things lately, or how about a loved one? We want to tell you about a brand new book called Memory Rescue that has just been published that could really help you. Let's hear from its author.
Hi, I'm Dr. Daniel Amen, author of a new book called Memory Rescue. Memory Rescue teaches you how to prevent future problems, but if you're having memory problems now, how to rescue it, how to get it back so that everything in your life can be better. Plant the habits that I talk in your life. I know it'll make a dramatic difference for you and for those you love.
It's important that you receive this information. Get your copy of Memory Rescue by Dr. Daniel Amen. Learn more at memoryrescuebook.com. That's memoryrescuebook.com. Now back to Melanie Cole and Healthy Children.
The fact that you say it stays on, it can stay on for up to 3 days, is frightening for parents. Now on to treatment.
Well, that's so why it goes through usually everybody in the house gets it, and that's why.
Yeah, usually everybody in the house, oh, it's so unpleasant. Now, so once we're washing, we're helping the child get through it. Now we've got to try and keep them hydrated, Dr. Cross, but maybe they can't even keep down a spoonful of water or some ice chips. What are we to do?
Right. So, I mean, the first thing that the parents are going to see is they're going to see, like, an acute onset of vomiting. They're going to have watery but non-bloody diarrhea with some abdominal cramping. They're going to have some nausea. They might see some low-grade fevers, headaches, body aches, just general crankiness. So for those sorts of things, you can treat with some Tylenol or some Motrin. I mean, obviously, if you're going to give Motrin, you'd like them to be able to keep something down. You want to make sure that if you have a really young kid, like an infant, that you at least let your doctor know that this is going on. Often there's not much they can do unless your child gets really dehydrated, but you want to give them the heads up. Then what you really want to do is keep your kid hydrated. So every time they're having one of those watery bowel movements or they're having a vomiting episode, you realize that they're losing that much liquid. So we have to try to get that much liquid back into them. If they try to just drink it out of a cup, a lot of times they're just going to vomit it right back up. So what I usually say is get a straw, have them sit there and watch their favorite movie, hold in that cup, and just drink slowly, little by little. So you're just sort of dripping it in, and this way their stomach sort of tolerates it. Even if they love things like apple juice or sugary drinks, we're not going there because that sugar is going to upset the stomach. So if that's all they'll drink, you have to dilute it with water so that it's not this big sugar load hitting that stomach. And then some kids will take Pedialyte, some won't. It really depends on your kid. But the most important thing is that you're hydrating them. And studies have shown that oral rehydration, so taking it by mouth, is just as effective as getting an IV if you can keep it down. Now, if you can't keep it down, then you have to call your pediatrician, you have to go in, and usually you have to get IV fluids. So most kids recover from this without any problems, but those little kids, the ones who are maybe immunocompromised, or even the elderly, if you've got a grandparent who you get end up getting sick, those are the people that we really worry about becoming super dehydrated. The way you know if you're dehydrated or if your kid's dehydrated is you can tell, have they had a lot of urine output? Have they peed a lot that day? Do their eyes sort of look sunken? Is their skin sort of tenting, like you just have this extra skin because you're getting dehydrated? When you push on their little fingers, they should be red and the color should go white and then it comes right back. If it's taken a really long time for their color to come back, then you want to call your pediatrician. And if you're just not sure, if your child is just not seeming like themselves and you're at all nervous, it's just better to call and be safe than sorry.
So you mentioned not sugary drinks, but sometimes what about like the sports drinks with electrolytes or the, you know, and I think my doctor told us once to use like the clear one or maybe because it had less sugar. Are sports drinks not as the same as Pedialyte?
They're not the same. I would say that they're not horrible for you, but I would definitely cut it with water because they do have a lot
That's
of sugar
a great idea.
In them, and that if your stomach is upset, that's sometimes too much.
Yeah, so that's a really, really good idea. And when do we call doctor?
So definitely, if you're at all concerned, if you have a child who, you know, for whatever reason, you think just isn't going to tolerate this, maybe just really can't keep anything down, has had no urine output, hasn't peed for, you know, most of the day, you want to give your pediatrician a heads up. And they might say, okay, this is what we're going to try. Call me back in a couple hours. Or they might say, no, I want to see you. Or they might say, go directly to the ER. But This is when, if you're a new parent, generally call them right away. If you're an older parent, you're used to this, then you can watch for a little bit longer because you sort of have a better sense of when your kid's getting dehydrated. But dehydration is what we're looking for, and if you can't keep something down and your kid has no urine output, if they haven't peed for the day and they're starting to get that sunken eye look and they're just not keeping anything down, then you have to call.
And now on to prevention. So mm-hmm. when these things can spread, they're on surfaces, and you mentioned not to use like a hand sanitizer as your way to clean. Are you somebody that when your kids are little like this and maybe not wiping themselves as well, do we sanitize everything with those antibacterial wipes all over the place, our counters, the toilet seat, the toilet handle, you know, for little boys that lift up the seat, if they lift up the seat, then you know, there could be like poop on there. And then, so speak about prevention. I mean, what do we do?
Generally, what I suggest is this is when you go on kitty quarantine. And I say, this is the place where you are going to be. This is the couch you can sit on to watch TV, or this is the iPad you will use and you can watch it in your room and I'll put a movie on for you. This is the toilet I want you to go to. Here's your bucket. Carry it around with you. You know, and I try to limit the amount of things I'm going to clean, but then, yes, I wipe down the door handles, I wipe down the toilet seat lever, I wipe down the things, what they touch, because it's the only way to try to not have everybody get it. And I tell, like, if it's my son, I tell my little girls, don't go in there. Like, he's off limits for, you know, today and tomorrow. The good thing is it's short-lived. Usually it's only about 24 to 72 hours, so it's 1 to 3 days that you're sort of on lockdown, which isn't that bad if you don't pass it to anybody else. Of course, sometimes they're shedding virus before they even show symptoms, so you may already be getting it and not know that it's coming. And then at other times, they're still shedding virus after they've recovered. So then, I mean, I'm sure your next question is, when can they return to school? And the question is, we really don't know when they stop shedding it and aren't contagious. We know they're still shedding it. We don't know how contagious they are. But generally, most schools have the rule that you need to be, symptom-free for 24 hours. And I would really advise parents, don't push it, because you don't want to get everybody else sick.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Cross, when my daughter had it, and I think she was two, maybe two and a half or three, it was one of the first times I felt like such a mother, because I sat up all night because she was throwing up. I read The Secret Garden all the way through, and I really just sat there and cared for her all night. But it is such a difficult thing. So wrap it up for parents about this very unpleasant virus that our kids and or adults and everybody in the house can get, and what you want them to know about preventing it.
Basically, it's going to they're going to be sick for a day to 3 days. Call your pediatrician if you're at all concerned. Watch out for dehydration. Try to keep them hydrated by using that straw and letting them drink slowly. Start out with water, Pedialyte, or if you're going to go with a Gatorade, cut it with some water. As they're sort of tolerating that a little bit better, you can go on to the BRAT diet, which is the bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast, and sort of move on slowly because their stomach is still going to be adjusting afterwards. Call your pediatrician if you're at all concerned. Make sure you clean everything up. Remember, bleach here is your friend, and so is super hot water, so there's no hand washing. Just being cleanly will get you there. Wear some gloves and don't rely on the Purell.
Rock on. What great information. You're listening to Healthy Children with our great friends from the American Academy of Pediatrics. And remember to subscribe to us on iTunes and rate and review. That way like-minded people and other parents can really get involved and hear this great information that the American Academy of Pediatrics is putting forth for you, because you're hearing it from pediatricians, and that is the best place to get it because they are certainly the experts. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.